So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about three big issues on the subject of moving people around the world. And my theory is if you get these three right, or at least you understand the risk entailed in these three, that the surprises will go away. Number one is, what entity is going to employ these employees that you're going to move around the world? Second is, what documents do you need in place to make sure that this relationship with these employees, wherever they're working, is really a working relationship? And finally, how do you keep yourself and your company off the front page of the New York Times? And there I'm really going to be talking about the budding issue of international human rights and how that is really starting to haunt companies trying to do business around the world. So first, let's talk about what entity. The sort of the knee-jerk reaction for a lot of U.S. companies is, well, we'll just keep them all in the U.S. entity and we'll just send them all over the world. What could go wrong with that? And for a lot of employees, actually, they kind of prefer that because, one, it's comfortable. They know the employer. They also know they've got a direct ride back to the United States. They're not going to be left out there someplace working for some company that may no longer even be in existence. And also, it doesn't mess with their benefit plans. And if you've got people who have been with the company for many years and they're worried about their pension and so on, that really makes them comfortable. Now, the downside, of course, doing that is if you go off and do that, someday you may have to walk into your CEO's office and say, listen, the U.S. entity was just sued in court in Belgium. And the lawyers in Brussels say, yes, the courts in Belgium have jurisdiction over our U.S. entity because of the way we employed people there. So they're wondering how our Flemish is. And you just don't want to have to be there.